Alright, so all this file says is that it basically makes the point that at some level there is really no difference between distributed memory and shared memory. What a shared memory system can do is this processor can just write the address of that memory location, and the hardware fetches it here. For a distributed memory, this processor must test that if memory here, go and get it from here with an ordinary hardware memory access. If memory on another processor, send a message and then grab the data off that processor. So they are logically at some level the same. However, there is a different cost function associated with this. This has a huge cost function associated with it. So you could say distributed memory machines are going to be slower than shared memory. Actually, probably the opposite is true, because effectively a shared memory has this hardware structure. Because if you have memory sitting on different processors with on different PC boards or in different locations, it will take longer to get it. What the shared memory architecture does is hide that from the software. It makes that a hardware function. And so you can argue that the distributed memory system is actually more efficient because it forces the user to realize which memory accesses are the most expensive, and to A, to minimize them, and B, to make steps to make them more efficient, which in making them more efficient is gathering all the memory accesses on this processor together, putting them all in a message. So instead of sending 15 tiny messages, each asking for one word, we send one message asking for 15 words. And the problem with the shared memory architecture, apart from the cache, which may or may not be easy to build for such a system, There's very hard for the hardware to do that type of blocking and to get a great deal of efficiency. So the huge advantage of shared memory is it's much easier to build the software because you have a single hardware mechanism, access memory, which is the same hardware mechanism that you have on a conventional SISD machine, von Neumann machine. So shared memory machines are much easier to port existing sequential code. And so their great success has been that the porting problem has been far easier. And although the performance is probably not as good as this design, the absolute or the in principle performance, the realized performance, with real users who only have a limited time to modify their code, has probably been higher on shared memory than distributed memory systems. The goal, of course, of compilers and projects such as high-performance C++, Java, and Fortran is to try to hide this difference from the user. So the user uses a shared memory programming model. So as far as the user is concerned, they write the code like that, and the compiler ingeniously takes this type of architecture, bundles all the messages up to all the memory accesses up into big messages, and implements it using wonderful optimized runtime to make the system efficient, make the shared memory programming model efficient. The problem is that, as we found out, it's quite hard to build these compilers. Further, there is no way to build a compiler to do that for existing C++, Fortran, or Java. You have to modify the language to essentially give hints to the compiler as to how to do this optimization. And that's because these sequential languages, such as Java, Fortran, and C++, have thrown away the information needed by the compiler to do this optimization. And it has to be added back in. The trouble is when you add it back in, you get a different language which requires the code to be modified, and that, of course, imposes user resistance. but the resistance is particularly great if, even when they've done the hard work of converting the code, the compiler doesn't work. And at least until recently, the problem has been the compiler hasn't worked.